Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome back to another live stream from On Texas Football, the Friday live stream. And this one's very special, ladies and gentlemen. We are, we're about 24 hours away from the start of the spring game. Everybody's excited about it. Fingers crossed that the weather actually cooperates on this one. But, of course, I'm joined by fellow Lifetime Longhorns, my man C.J. Vogel and Bobby Burton. Look at that background for C.J. Vogel, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that background. That man is grinding, working hard. Look at that. It's a beautiful thing, C.J.
It is beautiful, isn't it? And I can't wait to see this place filled up tomorrow for the spring game. Should be a great time. Wet or dry, going to be a good time.
Hey, no doubt about it. Either way, I'm having a good time talking about the spring game, which we'll do a lot of today, of course. We'll take all your questions. You can throw those out there. You know how it goes. Super chats will disrupt the show at any time. Of course, we'll throw out your questions out there. Thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate it. There is a lot of news. There's transfer portal stuff that we got to get into. We'll start there, of course.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We know the block is hot, if you will. And CJ is out there on the block, all right, because there are potential news for the Longhorns in the transfer portal talent acquisition headline. So we'll get into that starting off. But also we'll get into some spring game discussion. But all of your questions, throw those out there. We'll answer as many of them as we can. I promise you that. All right, gentlemen, let's not waste any time. Let's start with why CJ is there on campus right now. CJ, you broke some news earlier this week that the Longhorns were going to have one of their transfer portal targets on campus. Give us the breakdown. What are you seeing right now? Why are you down there right now on campus?
Yeah, Texas has a pair of transfer portal interior defensive linemen on campus today. They'll be, around for the spring game tomorrow. Of course, right now, getting the VIP preferential treatment from the staff and the recruiting department. It is, of course, Bill Norton, the interior defensive lineman from Arizona. I reported that earlier this week that he would be on campus. He got in late last night. He's on campus today, obviously. But an additional name, and one that's a bit newer to the to the world of Texas recruiting here, of course, UCLA interior defensive lineman Jay Toya, also on campus with his family. We have spotted them in golf carts with the staff, taking in the Moncrief and the DKR rod. You know what that's like, getting that red carpet treatment right now. That's what Jay Toya is feeling right now with the Texas staff. So two big transfer portal targets on campus today. And, of course, Emory Winston, the 2025 tight end commit right now out of Calhoun, Georgia, also on campus for a multi-day visit. He will be taking in the spring game as well tomorrow.
Wow. Bobby, you said earlier this week, and it was kind of, I was taken aback by it. You think Texas could take potentially two transfer portal acquisitions at the defensive tackle position if they find the right guys, if it's the right fit, if it's the players, obviously, that they're eyeing out there. There are several defensive tackle targets, I think, in the transfer portal right now. And CJ mentioned two on campus. You still feel strongly that Texas could take multiple defensive tackles in this transfer portal spring portal here?
Yeah, let me rephrase it.
Okay.
Let's go with at least two.
Wow.
At least two. I think it's possible Texas goes after three defensive tackles. I really do. And yes, it's indicative of what's on campus from the upper class. But I think it's indicative of what's available. And so Jay Toya is a guy, I think, had 28 tackles last year, Rod. 30 plus tackles the year before. But he was a 2-year starter at UCLA on one of the nation's best defenses. He absolutely can eat blocks. He absolutely can get pressure. He can control the line of scrimmage. Texas wants this guy, whether he plays over the nose or at the three, because he is a run stopper with very few equals in the college game right now. So he actually is one of those guys that is he's one of those guys that is, I guess the best way to put it right now is that stops the run. And that is what Texas needs, because we've talked about it. That's not Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton, even though they play defensive tackle. That's not necessarily their strength, okay? Yeah. Bill Norton is another one that CJ has seen today, along with Jay Toya, both on campus. We've talked about those two. The third is Dominic Williams out of TCU, and he went in, and Texas is immediately all in on trying to get after him. He's got a visit set for next week to Texas, Rod, already. Wow. He's visiting OU this weekend for their spring game. And then I think turns around and comes to Texas either Sunday or Monday for a 2-day official visit. He also has an official visit to Colorado, as well as LSU, and then maybe Oregon and Missouri. But I'm here to tell you, Texas is not I talked about it with CJ and Rod. I was over there with them a little bit earlier today doing some stuff for tomorrow's stuff. And Steve Sarkisian is not going to leave any stone unturned. This is all in. I mean, and I use the term, when we think of all gas, no brakes, Rod, immediately think of that high-flying offense.
Yep.
When he came to Texas, that's what, mm-hmm. I mean, CJ, you would probably say the same thing, right? We thought all gas, no brakes applied to the offense. But what it's applying to right now is basically everything he wants to do in the program. All gas, no brakes on recruiting, all gas, no brakes on portal. He's trying to win a national championship right now.
And I love that. It's ironic, and it could just be a coincidence, but man, how serendipitous that you hired Johnny Nansen. Your biggest need on defense is interior D line. And he has connections with two of these three guys you just brought up. He's got connections with Jay Toya, because he was the D line coach at UCLA when he was there as a young D lineman. He's got connections with Bill Norton, of course, because he's the defensive coordinator at Arizona. Same thing with Sevilla when they brought him in. I mean, what are the odds of that? And we always talk about recruiting. Recruiting is about relationships. Johnny Nansen's relationships alone may end up, CJ, paying huge dividends for Texas this particular year, his first season on staff, not only obviously as a coach, but as a recruiter, just because of those ties that he has, those connections. If you end up getting all those guys, there's no doubt Johnny Nansen's connection with those guys, their familiarity, him being able to vet those guys and their football character is going to play a huge part in that.
Yeah, it's funny how the stars align sometimes in college football. And, you know, really when you go back to the re-recruitments of guys who entered the transfer portal, we've already seen it with Texas, kind of picking back up on previous relationships, whether it be an Andrew Makuba, who, you know, Texas has a program in general missed out of high school, but there's ties with Michael Taft and Jahdae Barron, who they trained with together in the Austin area. Of course, you look at Matthew Golden, who Sarkisian recruited out of high school as well. Trey Moore from the San Antonio area. Just guys that kind of tie together to the Texas program from, you know, years past. It's interesting. And of course, with Coach Nansen and the ties to these interior defensive linemen, I mean, how wild is it, Rod, that he's coached three of the guys that have entered the portal and that Texas is certainly very interested in? One's already on campus and two are visiting today. So it's very funny, and it's almost, written in the stars, if you will, in the sense. But to the point earlier, I wanted to just mention about the all gas, no brakes, Bobby. I mean, it's very impressive for Steve Sarkisian to look at his roster construction on a year-by-year basis and address those needs. Early on, it was an offensive line. Then it became wide receivers. Now it's interior defensive line. If he's serious, which he's said time and time again that he is about winning a national championship, he's not letting that interior defensive line spot be the reason why Texas won't compete for, play for, or possibly win an SEC championship or college football playoff championship. So I have to, you know, tip my cap and salute Steve Sarkisian for his efforts in getting these guys on campus almost, you know, right away.
Hey, Rod, to your point, this proves Johnny Nansen's a plus recruiter before even the first recruiting class done.
Right?
I mean, he hadn't been a signing class yet.
No.
He's already got three guys potentially on campus. You know,
that's crazy.
You're wondering whether or not the Texas new linebacker coach can recruit. I mean, the early returns. I mean, not just the early returns, the pre-early returns.
Exactly.
Kind of good. Yeah. I want to say this. I mean, a lot of people I see the chat. A lot of people are saying people have put in crystal balls, RPMs. I think it's interesting. They all did that after CJ and Jerry reported that there were two guys on campus. CJ, you broke the news today or earlier in the week about Bill Norton being on campus. I think Jerry broke the news about Toya being on campus this morning. And then all those crystal balls come in. It's easy to say it once they get on campus. I'm happy that they're there, though. You know what I mean, Rod? I mean, it's very interesting because we've got two of those guys. Dominic Williams coming in on either Sunday or Monday. Longhorn's looking really strongly at a big group. And I have heard that they're going to take, quote, at least two. So if they get the right two now. I mean, there's nothing saying that this is a done deal at this point, although we think Norton is in that category close to it. Toy is a little bit different, but hopefully we'll see how it goes.
The young man you brought up, Dominique Williams as well from TCU, and who also can play the A gap. Obviously, that's a big part of it. We talked about this with Coach on the winning drive, whether it was an indictment on the players they have now at D tackle. If they're bringing in, as Bobby says, at least two D tackles via transfer, already brought in Savea, could bring in more. It could just be that those guys just don't have the expertise to just play the nose. They just can't. They don't have anybody that's comfortable playing the nose tackle. A lot of these guys, they translate as three techniques. And, you know, when you had Byron Murphy and Tavendre Sweat, I think we took for granted both of those guys could play the nose. Wasn't a big deal. You can kind of – those guys are interchangeable. You don't necessarily have that right now. That's why they're bringing all these guys. That's one thing they have in common. As you've talked about, CJ, Bill Norton can play in that A-gap. He can be an A-gap disruptor, but also be that guy that can be stout at the point of attack. So can Jay Toya. Savea also has that in his background, and a young man, Dominic Williams. But is it that Dominic Williams, from what I understand, is he the prize of the group if you could bring in any of those guys right now out there? There's also the young man out of Michigan State who – that's another name I heard people have brought up a couple of times. But is he the one with the highest ceiling potentially out of all these D tackles that we're talking about in the transfer portal?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. It's certainly fair because, of course, you know, you want to know where to stack your chips when you're going in for these portal defensive linemen. I love what I watch from Dominic Williams at TCU. He's very disruptive. He can get past the passer or past the offensive line. He can disrupt the passer. It feels to me that he's got some Byron Murphy in him, you know, in the sense of getting and creating that pressure from the interior. He had about 25 pressures a year ago per PFF. That was the most of the bunch. And of course, you know, he has the accolades and kind of the hardware as well to back that up. He was a freshman All-American 2 years ago. He was a Big 12 mention as well last year. So he's certainly backs up his play in my eyes. He brings a little bit more juice in the passing game, which I think if you were to combine him with what is kind of the strength of Kenny Baker's tutelage down here in Austin, it's that pass rush. It's that ability to learn some new moves and techniques to get after the passer. That's what guys like Baron Sorrell and Alfred Collins mentioned yesterday, that they were so excited to work with him about. Just kind of fine-tuning their skills and craft to get after the passer. That's kind of been the MO of Texas. They'll create pressure, but they can't get that quarterback on the ground. So for Dominic Williams, to me, I think he has the highest ceiling in the pass rushing game, something Texas, you know, certainly saw a lot of a year ago with their interior guys. One other quick note on Dominic Williams, because I know Oklahoma has him on campus right now for their spring game tomorrow. I talked to some folks up near that program who, you know, they have some confidence. But, of course, knowing that he is going to visit Texas right after Oklahoma, there's some pause. Because we've seen Texas be very active whenever they see a guy that they like in the portal, knowing that Texas is here to play big boy ball, if you will, when it comes to, you know, matching NIL, surpassing NIL, whatever it takes to get what they deem to be a top guy from the portal to campus, they're going to go all out. So with it, there is confidence, but it's met with hesitancy on the Norman side of things. Something to monitor, of course, before he heads up to Colorado, LSU, and potential trips to Missouri as well.
Hey, Rod, I want to add something to what CJ just said. When you start trying to rank these guys, so Toya and Dominic Williams both have NFL draft grades. So they're now, whether they're first, second, third round, fourth, whatever that is, they're both ranked ahead of anybody else, both Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton.
Wow.
So from an NFL draft perspective, so think about that, first of all. Furthermore, Toya played a lot in the B gap last year, but he is a run, unlike Alfred or Vernon, he is a run first defender, period.
Yep.
Right. And so neither Alfred nor Vernon are what I would consider run first defenders, even at the three technique. I'm not sure Jarae Bledsoe would be considered a run first defender.
Yeah.
I mean, he's so athletic and stuff and gets into the backfield. And so now Tia Savea is, to your point. Aaron Bryant is. So I think that it's not so much about replacing Vernon Broughton and Alfred Collins as it is, to your point, Rod, improving the ability to stop the run, wherever it may be. Now, primarily, now Dominic Williams is the guy that plays over the nose or tilt, whatever you want to call it, right?
Yeah.
To your point, Toya will play up and down the line a little bit more. But he is a run stopper, and that's where Texas is lacking from an age perspective. I mean, you mentioned you don't just replace Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. Give me a break. That doesn't happen. I mean, Texas hasn't had a pair like that since Casey Hampton and Sean Rogers. I mean, so that happens once every 20 years. At the same time, the cupboard wasn't 100% bare, but it wasn't filled with run stoppers when you're going to a league like the SEC. Would there be, I have a question. I don't know that there would be as big a rush to the portal
if Texas is
going back to the Big 12 this year.
I totally agree. That's a great point, Bobby. Totally agree with you.
But they can't go in not knowing how rough and tumble the SEC. Sark can't take those chances. Johnny Nansen and Pete Kwiatkowski and Kenny Baker, you can't leave that up to chance whenever you think you might have a chance to win a national championship with a third-year starter. And Quinn Ewers, you got all the pieces. All gas, no brakes, in my opinion. On that.
No, I love that, but I totally agree with you on that. And you got Michigan early on. You know, they're not going to – Jim Harbaugh's not there, but they'll still be playing some brand of Harbaugh football, which is you got to deal with power of football – right at you. They're going to run right at you. You know, Georgia can do it, whether they will do it or not. They can. Kentucky can do it. There are a couple of teams on that schedule that can play power football against you, and you want to be able to have – you want to be ready for that counter. And I think that's why you want to stockpile on these, what you talk, run-first defenders there. Buddy, pal, chief, big guy, if you can't stop the run in the SEC, you'll go 2-6 in the league. You can never have enough war daddies. Yeah, I mean, like I said, and I don't know if they're war daddies. To me, a war daddy is somebody that can do everything. Like a war daddy is a Casey Hampton. That's, you just had a couple of war daddies in Byron Murphy and Devontae. Those are kind of war daddies, Outland Trophy winner. I think these guys have specialty. They have special expertise in certain aspects of the game. That's why, like Bobby said, you're bringing in some run-first defenders. They can just stop the run. So if somebody want to just run downhill on you, you can go, all right, you know what? I'll take Alfred Collins out. We'll take out Vernon Broughton. Let's put in that rotation of our run-first guys. Jarae Bledsoe, those guys. You'll take them out of the rotation as much. Put in your run-first guys. And if you get up big in the game, hey, let's put our pass rushing guys out there mostly. So I think right now these won't change ups. They want counters. They want solutions. That's why they're bringing in all these guys. Yeah, you wish you had a war daddy. You don't have that right now. That's part of the problem. Alfred Collins should be that. He has the body of a war daddy. He ain't got the mentality necessarily of one. I like that, though. Okay, we got a lot of questions, so we'll get to those here coming up in a second. First, we got to thank our fantastic sponsors. And I'll tell you what I got to experience out there at Flat Creek in just a second. But first, let's tell you about Flat Creek Estate Winery, ladies and gentlemen. Just won 11 awards in 30 days, including double gold Grand Reserve and Texas Grand Reserve at the Houston Rodeo. Flat Creek Estate Winery is raking in awards, and it's just a few minutes from the heart of Austin, Texas. Select bottles of the wines by Flat Creek Estate are now available at your local Specs, so now you can get a taste of what they're all about. Flat Creek Estate is also a gorgeous venue hosting events for the whole family all spring. Check out their website for wine tastings, chef dinners, and even make a reservation to visit the property for Mother's Day coming up very soon. Eat, drink, and be awesome at Flat Creek Estates. For more information, please visit flatcreekestate.com. That's flatcreekestate.com for more information. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Bobby and I got a chance to visit Flat Creek Estate. I'm already making Mother's Day plans. My mom's coming to town, and one of our plans is to take my mom and the new mother, my wife, of course, out there and have a nice day at Flat Creek Estate. But my wife's already been, we had some, we took home some goodies from Flat Creek Estate. We went out there to visit. Wife is already enjoying the wine. She loves the Super Texan. That's what she'd recommend. It's fantastic. The rosé is great there. She's enjoyed the rosé already. So I can personally now recommend Flat Creek Estate Winery, but I'm going to enjoy it even more when I go out there for Mother's Day. So shout out to Flat Creek Estate, Bobby.
Yeah, it takes you out in the hill country, but not too far. It's just past Laga Vista too.
Yep.
I thought it was really good. So it's you can get out there in 45 minutes easy from downtown Austin.
I agree with that. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm south, and it took me less than an hour, like an hour, a little around an hour or so to get out there. And I'm south of downtown, probably 10 minutes or so. So shout out to Flat Creek Estate. Go check it out for yourself, folks. Flatcreekestate.com. All right, gentlemen, let's hit some of these questions before we get out of here, because I know the Friday live streams, they go by really, really fast. How about this question? And this comes from Jason Hernandez. He says, lack of D tackles coach, PK's fault or Bo Davis' fault or both? Is PK on the hot seat as well? No, first of all, let me address it. PK is not on the hot seat. PK actually has done something the last three DCs at Texas did not do. That's Manny Diaz, Vance Bedford, Todd Orlando. His defenses have gotten better the longer he's been here. I love Vance Bedford. I love, you know, Todd Orlando, you know, Manny Diaz. Those guys are great. I actually know all those guys personally. But their defenses actually had their best seasons in the first season that they were here. That's statistically, that was the case. And then they deteriorated over time, basically, which means to me, the more film that was out there, all right, the more that teams in the conference, in the ecosystem got familiar with their defense, the more they were able to pick it apart, dismember it, disassemble it. PK has actually gotten better. He's actually acclimated and adapted to the ecosystem of the Big 12. Now, he'll have a new one in the SEC, but he's actually adapted to it. I think Gary Patterson coming on was a big part of that. Gave him some cliff notes to the conference that, you know, PK probably would have to go through those growing pains on his own. I think he miscalculated the conference early on. He thought the Big 12 was indeed a passing league. The truth is, Big 12 is a running league, cross-dressing as a passing league, and he figured that out too. And once he figured out the league, PK was able to, I think, do a good job and able to be adapting to the league. So I think PK, and now PK's got edge rushers. Now his secondary hasn't been good since he's been here. So his secondary should be a strength this year and the edges. So PK and job security is fine. But the D-tackle thing is interesting. I'll let Bobby and CJ jump on that because that's more recruiting and roster construction. Is the lack of a true, like, nose tackle being available right now for Texas, is that on the roster construction of the coaches? Or are we just talking about miss evaluations? What are we looking at here?
I think that so it's not PK's fault. If it's anybody's fault, it's potentially Bo Davis's, but I wouldn't even put it there. I think it's – I mean, Steve Sarkisian, the buck stops with him. I think that's a fair statement, right? I mean, whoever the wide receiver coach is, they went through a couple guys there. Steve Sarkisian went out to the portal and took care of that, right? Last year with Adonai Mitchell, added Xavier Worthy himself. And now he went out to the portal again, as well as went and got high school. I don't think Bo Davis did a decent job recruiting, was not a rainmaker in recruiting by any stretch, okay? But the reality of it is that the buck always stops with the head coach in recruiting. It really does. And so it's easy to say, oh, well, this guy, you know, I don't think that we can look back and look at Bo Davis and say, ah, he did, we can say he wasn't a great recruiter. Like, he didn't sign a bunch of five stars, et cetera. But he did sign some good players, and they're playing. I mean, look, Sadir Mitchell has all the talent in the world, right? Aaron Bryant is going to play this year. Alex January looks like a really good recruit right now, in my opinion. So, just look, we got to – I think that we do – we try to do a fair job here, right, CJ and Rod, of saying Steve Sarkisian's done a kick-butt job at Texas. Period. End of story. We all agree it. But no, nobody's perfect. That's what he's trying to rectify right now. That's the whole idea, right? And that doesn't mean that the guys that are there are bad or anything. It's just he's trying to fill holes in a roster that, you know, this is a – again, it's a big boy football. And big boy football is predominantly played by sophomores, juniors, and seniors. And if you're a sophomore playing, you're probably an NFL player. If you're a freshman playing, you better be an NFL player, you know, and then that you want that group. And so if they add a Jay Toya and a Dominic Williams, those are two future NFL players, you know? And so Bo Davis is an issue. I don't know. The head coach is, he would be the first person to tell you the buck stops with him. So we'll see where that goes.
Bobby, to double up on that, I think it's really interesting. When Sarkisian got here, obviously, the rooms on both sides of the ball in the trenches looked a little bit different. And knowing where Sarkisian came from on the offensive side of the ball, understanding how important the offensive line is, you know, they went all out to ensure that they had depth, they had talent, they had the pieces in that room to compete at the highest level. They took care of it. And I think because of his offensive background, that obviously took – you know, the number one top on the priority list. Well, what didn't, and on the flip side, and what kind of ended up putting Texas in this position was, the trenches on the other side of the ball. You know, it would have been maybe a little bit more interesting should Sarkisian have been a defensive guy if that room right now probably not looking like this, you know, or in this position. It's I've kind of juggled with that idea, of course, because the offensive guy, you got to have a good quarterback, you got to have an offensive line. Everything else will attract itself because your offense will be able to run smoothly. You'll have, you know, a way to distribute the football in that way. They understand it from that side of the ball. So I've juggled with that, of course, and I don't think anybody right now is looking at the Texas offense like there's holes anywhere. I think you certainly might have some flaws at certain positions, but for the most part, a wealth of talent and a wealth of depth across the board at every position on the offensive side of the ball. Whereas, if Sarkisian had maybe a defensive background, I don't think we'd be sitting in this same spot. So for the good comes, you know, some of those areas that you got to make up for. And to your point, Bobby, he's rectifying it as we speak. I don't think we'll see a position like this unless there's severe attrition or early, NFL departures, moving forward for the Texas roster. I think Sarkisian's figured it out.
All right, good stuff there. Juan, real quick, shout out to Juan. Thank you very much for the super chat.
What's the matter with my background? What are y'all talking about here? Dang, Bobby, how many places you have nicer background? I'm in Airbnb right now, guys. I'm over here off of South First. Give me a break. I'm at Airbnb.
Come on, join me, Bobby.
Yeah, CJ definitely got the nicest background we've had in a minute. We might need to screenshot that, put that behind in front of a green screen or something, so we can all look like that all the time, man. CJ, you're killing it right now. Ain't no doubt. It's a beautiful day too, CJ. You're killing it, man. You're definitely
beautiful day to host some big time portalers. That's for sure.
Yeah. CJ basically is multitasking. He is doing this show while also trying to keep his periphery out of his periphery. He's looking for potential portal targets out there who are just walking around potentially. So my man CJ is putting in the hard work. I got a question. I don't have a question, but I like this question, and it's a little selfish of me to want to bring it up, but it's about H-Town recruiting. So E-Kim, he's got two of these. The first one is, will the city of Houston be kind to Texas for the 2025 class? And CJ, are we talking about, I imagine this is over under 4.5 commits for the 2025 class from the Houston area. Back in my day, H-Town actually was, in my opinion, we were probably producing more NFL caliber players than DFW and any other spot in Texas. That has changed. DFW is now king in the state of Texas, producing NFL talent, but also producing the best football teams, period. Houston's taking the back seat. But I think Sark understands you can't dominate the state of Texas like Mac did, but you got to have market share. Dominant market share in some of the big places like DFW, like H-Town, you know, even in your own backyard. What do you think about E. Kim's question here, CJ? I'll give it to you first. Is Texas going to be able to have some of these big-time recruits in the H-Town area?
Yeah, no, it's interesting, of course, being a Dallas guy. I don't know where Houston stops and starts, you know.
Neither do many Houstonians anymore.
But it's a very, you know, there's a lot of talent in Houston. There's no denying that. Where is it in terms of, you know, kind of the hierarchy of states, regions, areas of the state of Texas? It's still behind Dallas a little bit, especially at the top tier talent. Yeah. So right now I'm looking at the under because, again, to that point, how far out does Houston go? Port Neches Groves, you got a guy out there Texas really likes with Jackson Christian. Is that not a part of it? Are we not?
That's golden triangle, baby.
I don't know where Houston stops and starts.
like Nick Townsend in Spring would be one.
Yeah, that's
Spring would be one. Fort Bend, yep. Caleb Hitchcock would be another one. Kobe Sellers at Shadow Creek. Tyler Thomas at Dickinson. Jonah Williams, even all the way down to Galveston, even though it's in Galveston County. I'd put that in.
Galveston?
He's like, I don't even know where all these places are. I haven't been to them.
I got to look at a map, Bobby.
To your point, Rod, I've seen this be cyclical over the years. I've been doing this 30 plus years now. And there was a time, you're right, where Houston had the top end talent. Dallas may have had the numbers, but Houston had. And it's gone back and forth, but over the last 5 to 10 years, it's been more consistent that Dallas has been not only had the numbers, but also a heavy take on the top end guys. Now, I don't know that that's always the case. Like Nick Townsend is as good a tight end prospect as anybody in the country. Then you have guys, to CJ's point, you have guys out in the Golden Triangle that are kind of tangential to Houston. So whether that's Jackson Christian or Yachty Armstrong at Jasper, those kind of guys. And then, you have the North Shore guys like Devin Sanchez. He's going to Ohio State. But all my points being that right now Texas is going to do okay in Houston.
Yeah,
I don't know. Conroe is another great one.
Warren
Pooh is out there right now. That's a big time guy for Texas on the board at corner. I don't know if Texas is going to just sweep Houston or wants to sweep Houston. I will say that 2 years ago, A&M absolutely killed it. 3 years ago, A&M absolutely killed it, dominated Houston to a level that Texas just had to be. I mean, it was debilitating for Longhorns in Houston to see what happened. That being said, half that class has now gone somewhere else for A&M. So, and Jimbo's stranglehold on that area gone because Jimbo's gone. And so I think it's opened it back up, and now Texas is the team a little bit. And so I think that there's some openings there mentally from the recruits in that area, Rod, where Texas is going to be back in the saddle a little bit because you and I are both from Houston originally, Rod.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have works. I mean, there's a little ebb and flow in that city based on which team is hot. And Texas definitely much hotter than the Aggies right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. No, that's good stuff. Okay, how about this one, guys? And here's a great question from Daniel Earp. He says, when will we expect to see the remainder of the Longhorns into the portal? Is this after those spring meetings happen? Is this when we expect it? I don't know when they happen, but after the spring game, the coaches meet with all the players, and Sark has gone on record for saying he's very truthful, honest with the guys about where they stand on the roster, what they got to work on. That's when we expect to see those. And I don't know, do you know when that happens, CJ, about what time period that is?
Yeah, some of them have been taking place this week. Obviously, with a few guys who have entered the portal, there has been meetings with Sarkisian position coaches, obviously getting an understanding of where you sit on the depth chart, what you need to work on to improve that sitting on the depth chart. And then, clearly sometimes that isn't what you know, players want to hear, of course, and that tends to lead to portal entries. But, you know, following the spring game, which I look at as a final test after a month's long of studying, essentially, you get an understanding to sit down and really get a look holistically of what you accomplished, what you need to accomplish to get on the field in the fall. They'll continue next week. They'll be wrapped up about a week after the spring game. Of course, I think finals are actually underway or about to start next week as well on campus. So the semester, not too much more of it down here in Austin. So they're really knocking things out quickly this week, and they'll drag on into next week as well.
All right. Thank you for that, CJ. And UT boy, thank you for the super chat, UT boy. Hey, UT boy. Hey, a lot of folks believe that Jonte Cook's going to have a big spring game. I'm going to throw it out there. Good mojo for Jonte Cook. Anytime now Jonte Cook makes a play, I can't help but think of UT boy. That's what you've done, UT boy. Anytime Jonte Cook's making plays, I'm like, man, I bet UT boy is somewhere celebrating. I bet he's really happy about that. I bet he really made his day. what will make you know what? You got Mother's Day coming up, and what will make the day of the mothers in your life? If you get them something special, and now we have an opportunity for those out there who have maybe a neglected Mother's Day, maybe not thinking about it yet. Don't wait to the last minute. Bobby, help the folks out there who may not have thought about what they're going to get that special mother in their life for Mother's Day.
Yeah, you may be like me, guys, looking for the right gift for the woman in your life for Mother's Day. Make sure you check out thecarrotconcierge.com. Jody Reynolds is a personal jeweler, and she is the Carrot Concierge. You can see some of her beautiful creations here. You can use the QR code on the screen to see even more, or visit her on Instagram or her website, thecarrotconcierge.com as well. Jody's an Austin resident, a Texas fan. Her family watches and listens to Odd Texas Football as well. She prides herself in providing personal service. She takes the extra steps to make sure your lady gets exactly what she wants. If you've never used a personal jeweler before, it's a much more one-to-one relationship. Because she doesn't have the overhead of a storefront, though, she can often get higher quality inventory at lower prices, much lower, like 30% less than what you'd see at a jewelry store. I recently ordered a piece for my wife for Mother's Day from Jody. It's a special bracelet that includes the name of my two kids. It's really cool. Jody has a number of different tennis bracelets, rings, necklaces, and more. All beautiful jewelry, all personalized for you and yours. Check out the carrotconcierge.com. Visit her website or give her a call or text and take care of that special someone in your life. Fellas, Mother's Day coming up, what is it, May 12th, I think? Make sure you take care of somebody special on Mother's Day.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm actually going to have to look that up. The carrotconcierge.com. I need to check that. I actually have not gotten my Mother's Day gift yet. And I got my mom, but also a new mother in my house. So actually, that is going to come in handy for me. All right, gentlemen.
Real quick, my mom likes diamonds, but my wallet doesn't. So we're going to have to wait on that one.
I got to say this. CJ, you're not to the point where you have a wife that is also a mom. That's where the world changes, right, Rod?
Because yeah, man.
Your mom diamonds, another thing getting your wife diamonds for Mother's Day when she's the mother of your children.
Yeah.
Your world changes a little bit and the worldview changes. I will say this, having met Jody, she's a nice person. She's all in on the Longhorns, man. So she's ready for it as well. So she's heard her family love the Horns. Appreciate them for that. And Rod, I will tell you this. She and I were talking. She said that you would not believe the amount of men that basically wait until the last second to buy anything for Mother's Day, whether it's flowers, jewelry,
etc. Yeah.
So she's advertising 2 or 3 weeks out to make sure people actually have an opportunity to take care of their wives ahead of time.
She's still going to get a rush of On Texas Football dudes hitting up the website, ordering stuff, getting, you know what I mean, that overnight shipping just because they wait until last minute. It is something about men. We do that. I don't know what it is about. We like the challenge of waiting until the last minute to buy gifts for the ones we love.
That's my favorite thing in the world.
If you rewind, make sure you use the coupon code, QR code, because with that, you get free shipping, by the way. If you're out of town. Yep.
There you go. All right. I know we're getting close to wrapping up things, but let's hit a couple more of these questions, guys. And thank you once again, UT Boy, for the super chat. Really appreciate that. Appreciate that love. All right, guys. How about this question here from Marcial? Are there any other positions in the portal we might target outside of D tackle?
We think punter right now. Okay. So keep that one kind of locked and loaded. I don't know for sure who it is though. And I don't know for sure if they'll be on scholarship. So that's mm-hmm. part of it. Beyond that, what we've talked about and what I think Sark has talked about behind the scenes and in front of the scenes even is there a guy out there that's just, you know, an elite player that's too good to pass up? I mean, is there a first round pick all of a sudden in the portal that wasn't expected to be there? Texas doesn't have any, I think that what Sark would say in this regard is Texas doesn't have any well-defined needs beyond defensive tackle at this point. And so if something comes available, that's a different story. People are asking about this defensive tackle from Michigan State. I want to say this. The Michigan State defensive tackle has expressed interest in Texas. I cannot tell you that that interest has been reciprocated to a level that would have him coming in for a visit at this point.
Okay.
So there's a difference there between what's going on with Jay Toya and Dominic Williams and Bill Norton compared to the defensive tackle at Michigan State, at least to this point.
And his name is Simeon Barrow. Is that the one we're talking about here? Yep. 30 career starts, honorable mention, all Big Ten selection. I've heard scuttlebutt about that. Nothing officially reported, of course, but just scuttlebutt online. Yes,
fair.
So good stuff there. Thank you, Bobby, for addressing that.
On Barrow, that's a guy that only had 21 snaps over the A gap. So true three tech guy. He is, you know, 400 plus snaps over the B. So if Texas feels comfortable with what they have right now and who they're, you know, currently pursuing, I'm not sure if you'll see an entire, you know, balls to the wall approach to go get him.
Oh, good stuff there, CJ. I'm glad you're keeping up with that number. All right. Well, before we get to some spring game news, notes and nuggets here, Jarrett Johnson, good question here. And I think it's easy. Over under on total players taken in the spring portal, 3.5. It's over. The way, right? I mean, are we talking about over here? At least from what I don't know, some of the stuff that Bobby hints at, that they could be very aggressive at the D tackle position in the portal, in the spring portal. 3.5. What do we think here?
I think it's 3.
So it's under.
If they get Dominic Williams, I would go over.
Okay.
Because of the punter.
It'll also be interesting to see how quickly players depart from Texas after the spring game, because you never know, Bobby. There's always a surprise or two, you know, depending on what other options are available for them to walk into other programs, whatever presents itself behind the scenes. So it'll be interesting to see who, when, and how they enter the portal, specifically at which positions. I think they end up going 4.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah. I think if we see more attrition, I'm thinking for some reason DB and wide receiver. If we see more attrition at those two positions, potentially, you can see another O lineman. I'm talking about that position we haven't seen yet and may not be necessarily expecting. All right, before we get a couple of questions, just to end this thing, CJ, spring game nuggets, notes. I know you got a couple for the people and they all want to hear them. Give us some.
Yeah, it's a really exciting one for me. Obviously, this should be the most that we've seen Arch Manning in a competitive setting, aside from that game against Texas Tech where he got a series or two. Getting him to, you know, really live action for Arch Manning, going to be exciting. He will be on the same team with Quinn Ewers behind that top offensive line. Of course, I believe the quarterbacks will be do it in the pass, Rod, where the quarterbacks are still in black jerseys, or do they suit up with the red?
They put them in a special jersey.
Yeah. So there's likely an opportunity for him to be obviously behind, you know, both offensive lines, but he will be getting a lot of run behind the first unit. He is, right now selected on the team with Quinn Ewers and the top offensive line, which reads from left to right, Kelvin Banks, Hayden Connor, Jake Majors, DJ Campbell, and then Cam Williams. So that's your first group for the offensive line. I forget which team it is, whether it be the orange or the white, but that means on your second team unit, Your interior guards are going to be Nato Umozulu and Cole Hudson. That's how we expect to see it tomorrow whenever they trot out for the first series or two at DKR right behind me. But, of course, getting to see Arch Manning behind that first group unit. Sorry, we got a street racer down there. Getting to see Arch behind that top offensive line should be very exciting. You know, obviously, we've heard great things behind the scenes when he's with that unit. Maybe not so much with that second unit who's, you know, going up against Colin Simmons and Trey Moore and Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell pretty often.
Yeah.
I would say this. We do think that some seniors and upperclassmen are going to be on pitch counts tomorrow, including Quinn. You know, that's – Rob, you and I talked about this the other day. I think we're going to see pitch counts on certain players. They don't have as much to prove. And, look, Jalen Gilbo has something to prove tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Jelani McDonald has something to prove tomorrow. Even Cam Williams, who's a starter, has something to prove. Does Baron Sorrell have much to prove?
Not really.
Quinn Ewers? No. Yeah, Rod knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
you're gonna see some guys on pitch counts.
Yep, some guys have already earned the trust of the coaches. They don't need to see much from them at this point. So I totally agree with you there. All right, a couple other questions before we got here. Albert wants to know: Have you guys heard any new smoke, just rumors, I imagine, with the smoke he's talking about, on Michigan D tackles Grant and Graham possibly entering a portal? I know there was some talk about that. CJ, any scuttlebutt rumor conjecture that you've seen about that?
Not recently.
Yeah.
Not recently. And, of course, Texas, you know, being very active now with Jay Toya and Bill Norton on campus currently, I think they'd like to get this out of the way as soon as possible because, of course, if you wait for the big fish to jump in and they don't, then you're left with, you're left in a bad spot. So I know that there was, you know, that little flirtation, if you want to call it that, even with, you know, Kenneth Grant following Steve Sarkisian, Tavondre Sweat, and the Texas football program on Instagram. Once I was brought to light, quickly unfollowed. I don't read too much into that. Clearly he's still yet to enter his name in the portal. And right now I've not heard anything specifically behind the scenes that leads me to believe there will be movement. Of course, again, I think Texas likes to get this thing out of the way as soon as possible.
Yeah. No, good stuff there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bobby.
No, I'll just say I've heard it's less than 50-50 that either of those guys go into the portal.
Okay.
And so I actually would disagree slightly with CJ. If Texas thought either of those guys were going to the portal, they might be a Sark place. He'll go to Vegas a little bit in recruiting. he ain't scared of that. But as of right now, I think Texas kind of know. I think that they kind of have a feel on where some of those guys are for how, you know, whatever. And I've been told that it's less than 50-50 that those guys go in. We'll see what really happens. Kenneth Grant, for example, and Mason Graham are both first-round picks.
Wow.
I mean, they're that good. And that's going to be one of the reasons that it's going to be hard for Texas to run the ball in Ann Arbor if those guys stay. So keep that in mind too.
Michigan spring game is tomorrow as well. So to that point of when Texas will see other departures, Michigan as well also falls into that suit, you know, just sticking it out until the spring game too.
Great point, CJ.
Yeah, good stuff there. All right. Shake and Bake wants to know, what's up with Derek Williams? I haven't heard about any safety play. I would say maybe that's almost a good thing we haven't heard about. It's like, you know, we haven't heard much about Kelvin Banks. There's some players we haven't heard much about because I just think they've been consistent, if you will. And I think he's one of those guys where I haven't heard anybody, you know, taking reps away from a guy like Derek Williams. So my assumption is that Derek Williams is going to pick up where he left off last year, and which was the best coverage safety that you got in the secondary. And now he's a guy that has taken better angles to the football, can dissect those angles to the football and be a forced run defender from the two deep shell when you need him to. And that was kind of the only weakness really in this game as a young player. And I think, honestly, that'll be something that's resolved this year too. So this is my take on it.
Rod, to your point, I'm sure you would have loved the headlines, you know, loved the flash, you know, get the fans to chant your name all the time. But a good day for you is not when your name's called at all.
Come on, man.
For a DB, you don't want any of that attention unless you're obviously coming away with an interception or making a big hit across the middle. But for DBs and for Derek Williams specifically, the fact that we haven't heard his name, I don't think that's a negative at all. Really, the name that we've heard the most consistently so far in the secondary has been Manny Muhammad, who has turned into an interception machine over the last few practices. So to that point, I don't think it's anything to worry about. We know what he was a year ago and the steps that we expect him to take this spring and into the fall. I think you're still looking at a very, very, very good football player for the Texas secondary.
All right, last question, guys, before we get out of here. Living rent-free in UT, could we see an offer to Keelan Russell this weekend? That's what he wants to know.
Ooh, I'll let CJ take that one because he's following recruiting, and that is a hot topic right now.
Yeah, that is a hot topic. Listen, KJ Lacy's going to be on campus. So if that's something that Sarkisian and AJ Milby and that offensive staff are looking at and maybe getting – you know, cold feet or even wanting to put pressure on KJ to, you know, reaffirm his commitment to Texas, then listen, offering another quarterback while your quarterback commit is on campus, that's a little interesting to me. I don't think an offer will come. I think KJ Lacy, despite some of the rumblings and some of the rumors behind the scenes, I think KJ Lacy likes Texas. He's certainly recruiting for Texas at the moment. He loves coming down to Austin. This will be his third trip in the last month to the area. Right now, again, I think Texas is liking where they sit with KJ Lacy. I would be surprised a little bit to see an offer with Keelan Russell.
All right, not bad. Good stuff. All right, 817, Mr. Talk Too Much, actually, wants to know, because he's in Austin, where to go for lunch. Hey, he's got a lot of great spots. You can go get some barbecue. Terry Black's barbecue is great. You can go. I went to Vic and Al's, actually, on the east side. Actually, it's pretty damn good. It's like Creole Cajun food, which is good. Any suggestions for 817, Mr. Talk Too Much, CJ, about where to go for
Gus's
lunch?
Gus's Fried Chicken over on 2nd Street.
Amen, brother. Nice
That's
one.
A banger.
Yes, sir.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a great one. Good for you. I like that. All right. There you go. We appreciate all you guys for joining us. Always fun to hang out with family. Thank you guys so much. Oh, Bobby, let the folks know where we'll be tomorrow, right? We'll be out and about.
Yep. Tomorrow morning, you and I will be at Victory Lap along with Jerry Hamilton. Jerry's actually down below, I think, a one block below CJ right now, covering recruiting as well. But Jerry will be with us tomorrow. From the Victory Lap, 11 to 12 tomorrow. It's right across from the Castilian, if you're familiar with the UT campus and the dorm. That's the Victory Lap over there on 24th.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. So the Victory Lap, 11 a.m. We'll be out there. Come on out. If you're in the neighborhood, we'd love to see you. Best part of this job is meeting you guys, hanging out with La Familia, hanging out with the On Texas football family. All right. Thank you to Matthew behind the scenes. He's always great. He's the reason that this whole thing kind of goes seamlessly. Thank you to CJ. CJ, man, you working hard for us out on the scene. Appreciate that. Appreciate Bobby. Bobby's breaking up a little bit, but that's all right. He's right in the nick of time. He's already out. Appreciate Bobby as well. Appreciate our sponsors, too. Thank you to the carrotconcierge.com. Thank you very much to Flat Creek Estate Winery. And thank you very much to all you guys out there. Tomorrow, remember, 11 a.m. Victory Lab. We'll be on live. You can just join us where you are, or you can join us out there. Until next time, for the On Texas football family, hook 'em.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.